I'm out there in the clubs and on the streets, and I'm living it. I am rock and roll.
From Buffalo, New York, the home of four-time Super Bowl participants, the Buffalo Bills, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
All right. Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the funny of being a DIY musician in the 716. I am Ryan Gurnett, and I am so committed to the premise of this podcast that I got a flat tire on the way here.
Oh, the struggle is real.
Yes.
It's really real.
And I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Dennis Reed Jr.
in the 716.
Dennis, how you doing today?
Good. Good. Getting my coffee. Got my old man nap in already.
Excellent.
Supercharged to entertain Buffalo.
Excellent. In this episode, we're going to sit down and talk with guitarist John Swayze from local punk band Governess, and we're going to play a song from their debut album, Let Me Be Your Governess, which Buffalo Blog calls a foul blast of fresh air to purify your poisoned hearts and gleefully torch your saccharine souls.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? That quote.
That is one of the most amazing things I think I've ever heard anyone say about music ever.
It's well said.
They recorded it in 2016 at Sonic Farm Studio. We'll talk about that, as well as we'll get into what we promise, which is crazy stories from the local scene, including...
Including getting a flat tire and having to tape your microphone stand to a piece of board, which I've done tonight.
And have your battery drained from your recorder when you try to start recording the podcast.
If anything can go wrong tonight, it's gonna.
Your house might just explode tonight.
You know what? Hold on. Do you feel that? We're turning a corner. and everything's gonna be great.
Oh,
my optimism is surging.
It feels good. So
that's my hand.
We're gonna talk to Governess about the time legendary Governess fan, the late Tony the Bastard, ripped a projector off the ceiling at the Gypsy Parlor, and people were actually surprised that Tony the Bastard did something bastardly.
We'll discover what an analversary is and whether paper is an appropriate gift for the first.
We'll learn how Governess managed to record a whole album in less time than it takes our band, Lady or the Tiger, to set up the studio mics for our third woodblock pass.
Third time's a charm. And we'll discuss if Record Theater's Two Stores closing is a devastating blow to musical choice or just another reason not to get out of the car on Main Street. Kind of a short one today. We're going to have new episodes coming out every 2 weeks on allwnyradio.com. Next week, we're going to air our conversation with Pocket Vinyl, so you'll want to tune in for that, too.
Oh, they were a good interview. They're fun people.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They released a new documentary called...
Drive, Play, Sleep.
Drive, Play, Sleep.
I think that's the sequence.
Yes, it's all about being an independent musician and touring, and we've both seen it, and it's fantastic, so that's going to be a really awesome interview.
Yeah, we're going to do an At the Movies, I think, in a couple weeks.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Let's figure out what proper, we're like, Siskel and Ebert-style we'll review.
Figure out have to do what we're going to do with our thumbs. So,
email us your suggestions, please.
Yes. And or send them to us on our Twitter page, which we are on Twitter at SIR Podcast NY. You can also hit us up on Facebook at The Struggle Is Real Podcast. If you have questions or comments, you can send them to us there. If you have questions, we'll probably answer them because no one else is going to send us questions.
Yeah, you've got a really good chance of getting some attention thrown your way.
So, you know, check that out. And if you want to just yell at Dennis, you can contact us there, and I can give you all of his personal contact information. You can call him during dinner, while you work. Just really...
I love drop-ins.
Yeah.
It's right around the dinner hour.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That would be the best.
All right. So, yeah, and we'll be on allwnyradio.com on the 1st and 15th of every month. And then we're also going to be kind of live on their streaming channel. Mm-hmm. At 8 o'clock, is it every Tuesday, Dennis?
I believe it's every Tuesday, yeah.
So we'll be there, so you can check us out any of those ways.
In Governess's punk rock spirit, I wanted to talk about burning bridges. All right. Now, rock and roll has always been anti-authoritarian at heart, but as a local band, of course, you know, you're also kind of a small business. So there's that tension there between wanting to be all punk rock and anti-establishment and also wanting to get along with your potential employers, you know, the people that you play at their bars and the people that are going to promote your shows. So, so Ryan, did you ever play a show where you basically told the venue to go fuck themselves?
You know, I actually don't think so. I've told other bands to go fuck themselves.
Uh-huh.
I've told some different promoters and booking agents to go fuck themselves,
mm-hmm.
but never the venue.
Okay, and, what smart man.
And I will, and then, you know, as long as we're burning bridges, I'm going to tell ESI to go fuck themselves.
Oh, right here on the podcast.
Right here, live on the podcast. I've been reviewing music for All WNY Radio for over a year now, and they helped me out with review tickets for like one or two shows right at the beginning,
yeah.
And they will not even respond to my emails now. I've contacted them on Twitter. I've contacted them on Facebook. They won't respond to me. They won't respond to Scott Leffler, my editor.
Wow.
And like, and they still send me emails saying like, oh, if you want complimentary review tickets, just send David Fenske an email. And you email the guy. And
yeah,
I've actually emailed him like, why do you still send me these emails if you're not going to bother responding to any of them?
Right.
So, and you know, I don't get paid for the reviews, so I'm literally just trying to help promote local clubs.
Yeah.
And these people just have no interest in doing that, which isn't even, not even just bad for me, but it's bad for the bands playing because they're not
yeah.
getting press coverage. So it really hurts everyone to do this. And I don't know why they're doing it because they won't even speak to me. So
right, right.
I'm burning that bridge
wow,
right now.
Wow, so that you're setting your torch
yes.
to that, the bridge between
burn
you
it,
and ESI.
Burn it to the fucking ground.
All right, all right. Well, there we are. This could be the beginning of a major media war between the all WNY fleet of media assets.
I'm in.
What is that fleet? What's in that fleet?
Joe Kent.
Specifically
Scott
Joe
Leffler.
Kent and Scott and us. But and, God bless the fleet.
Yeah.
We're not burning that bridge.
No.
So as you can tell just from me insulting my employer inadvertently just now, it's not always an easy line to walk. And while our band, The Lady or the Tiger, are exemplars of comedy and professionalism on the local scene, it hasn't always been that way with me. Now, I mentioned before that I used to be in a local band called Middleman, and one of my favorite hobbies outside of playing, my next favorite thing about the band was talking smack on our website about pretty much everybody in the local scene. So I'd like to play a little game this time around, and it's called Real or Not Real, How to Lose Gigs and Alienate Venues Edition.
Oh.
I'm going to read you statements that may or may not have been written on my band's website, on middlemania.com.
Okay.
We had the website for 10 years. I talked a lot of shit about a lot of people and a lot of bands, and I'm going to read you things that maybe I wrote, maybe I didn't write. You have to guess real or not real, and then I'll tell you whether or not you are correct.
All right. Are there prizes?
Do you? No. There are absolutely no prizes.
Oh.
Win or lose. It's much like life.
Yeah, I was literally just about to say that.
Win or lose doesn't really matter. The outcome is worms in the eye sockets. Oblivion.
Is that what happens if we get them all wrong?
Same thing as if you get them all right. Okay. So here we are. Let's start the game. In 2004, my band Middleman was invited to play the Music is Art Festival in Buffalo. After technical difficulties plagued our set, I was especially surly and in no mood for the local interviewer that descended on us immediately after the appearance. I wrote on my website afterward, quote, "The not ready for basic cable interviewer asked me with empty-eyed earnestness, 'What do you think makes the Music is Art Festival such a part of Buffalo?' I replied, 'Well, many things, but I imagine first and foremost would be the fact that the festival occurs within the geographical boundaries of the city of Buffalo.' His microphone went limp with embarrassment. Real or not real?" There's a long way to go for that. Some of the other ones are a little bit more tricky.
I've seen you surly. I believe you'd say that. Real.
You are correct.
Yes! Woo!
I sure did. And that was the last time that the media spoke to me.
Do you know who
like they must he must have known everybody else in the media.
Who is he? Do you know who he was interviewing before?
I don't know, and I wonder where that footage never saw the light of day, but is just one of the many things I'm regretful for having said and actually then written about. Okay. In the run-up to the 2004 presidential election, Middleman was asked to play at Cheektowaga's Rock and Roll Heaven. The occasion was the Concert for Change, where, as I put it on our website, quote, Western New York bands courageously support John Kerry in front of other John Kerry supporters, end quote. Surveying the exclusively homegrown talents, including ourselves and the bar staff, I observed that, quote, what the event lacked in star power, it made up for in slutty bartenders, end quote.
Ooh. Which bar is this one?
There's Rock and Roll Heaven. I don't even know if they're still extant.
I don't think so. I'm going to say not real.
Sorry for everybody involved. That's real.
Oh!
Not the least of which myself.
Oh.
I also called the rousing performance of Fortunate Son that concluded the night with guests from all the other acts a one-star jam.
Oh, you don't go after the bartenders.
I went after everybody within my line of sight. And then some. Okay.
Slutty bartenders, we love you. Stay slutty.
I apologize to them most of all. Middleman was nominated for a 2004 Best of WNY Award. We went to the ceremony, and of course I went back home and wrote about it all. Choice lines of my review that I put on our website included, a few of the city's elder musicians milled about, trying out the tuxedos they would be buried in, and a description of the MC as, quote, some dumpy DJ from the lake with the stage presence of a black guitar stand, end quote. Is that real or not real?
Oh, it's so good. But I just can't imagine you being nominated for anything. I'm going to say not real.
Oh, sorry. That is true.
Ah!
We were nominated. I just had to drop the nomination in there.
Ah, but what were you nominated for?
It was actually the award itself said Best Original Garage. It wasn't Best Original Garage Band. It just said Best Original Garage. I think we couldn't afford, like, to engrave all the letters on it.
Right, maybe. Now, outside, you have the Best Original Garage because the door is completely broken, and I don't think there's another garage in Buffalo that looks quite like it.
Yeah, best in terms of apparently gravity-defying. Ryan's referring to in my backyard. I've got a garage that's coming apart literally at the seams, and the door's hanging sideways on it. It's definitely a suitable backdrop for the Struggle is Real podcast. But yeah, that is true, and I also detailed how the highlight of the night was throwing the free pen we got out of the car window afterwards and running it over. So that's gratitude for you. Showplace Theater on Military Road was a fun place to play and always had some of the best sound. While I acknowledged that fact several times on our website, I also couldn't resist drawing attention to the substandard lavatory in a February 2005 article. Quote, and I wrote, quote, I have never been to India, but I got an inkling of what the Ganges must smell like at the height of summer in the Showplace Theater's men's bathroom last night. I continued that, quote, as I descended the stairs and fought through the olfactory equivalent of the nine circles of hell, I fully expected to find at the bottom a gaggle of syphilitic hobos making feta cheese with their shoes off. Real or not real?
I remember describing the bathroom of the Showplace Theater as, it always looks like someone took a burrito, unrolled it, and just threw it in the toilet. So that is absolutely real.
You are correct. That is real. I also observed that the staff's indifference that night to other human beings came off more like brain damage than intentional neglect.
Oh,
and
I meant that
as a compliment to them. Okay, let's keep rolling. Everybody still with us? In December of 2003, Middleman played an open mic at Broadway Joe's. In my summary on our website, I proceeded to publicly criticize the backline provided by the club, specifically charging that the so-called Marshall amp on stage was actually a Gorilla amp with a forged nameplate, and that the drums were, quote, salvaged from some middle school's discontinued jazz program in the 70s, end quote. Did I really write that on a public web page and invite people to read it? Real or not real?
That's Broadway Joe's, so I have to believe that's real.
That is real. That is another real one. I'm not keeping track, but I think they've all been real so far. So I also found it necessary to call out the otherworldly sheen, as I put it, of the sound guy's leather jacket, and to call the PA a shrieking demon storm of nose hair curling feedback.
Sounds about right.
So, but in my defense, that's absolutely true.
Yes, that's how we will remember Broadway Joe's.
There was no poetic interpretation there. After receiving a 2.5 out of 5-star rating in Night and Day magazine for our full-length album Attention Shoppers, I flew into a childish rage. I called the reviewer of the CD out by name on our website, calling the review, quote, obtuse and poorly written, end quote, and asserting that, quote, this Irish hack proves in paragraph after paragraph that he deserves to be where he is, writing for an insert in a local paper, end quote. I then proceeded to post a detailed point-by-point takedown of his review, which was roughly five times the length of his original review. Real or not real?
Oh, that sounds absolutely real.
That's real! That is absolutely real. There was not another CD review either, actually.
Oh, that's... As soon as you said Childish Rage, yeah. I was pretty sure it was you.
Yeah, you're like, that sounds like Dennis. All right, question number 50. While playing a show at Williamsville's Club Infinity, now Howdy's, in 2004, I spotted what appeared to be a chunk of meat on the ceiling above the stage. I photographed the substance, and after the show, shared the photo to our website and message board, asking for opinions on what the organic-looking material could possibly be, and whether it posed a hazard to other bands as it hung sort of Damocles-like overhead. Soon I photoshopped in eyeballs, and Mr. Meat became our unofficial band mascot for the rest of the year. I'm sure the proprietors of the club were thrilled at this exposure. Interest in the phenomenon only increased when, in a gig at Infinity the following spring, it was observed that Mr. Meat had vanished, which prompted another round of speculation on the Middleman website, including a theory that the glob had, quote, crawled to the club's gaudy laser-crossed foyer to spawn, end quote. Real or not real?
Question. Mm-hmm. Was the chunk of meat, did it look cooked or uncooked?
Cooked.
Oh. You know what? You've given me a lot of real ones, and I'm not going to believe that any club was thrilled at the exposure you provided them, because you probably didn't provide them any exposure, so I'm going to say not real.
That's not real?
Yes!
You're right. Made that up. Although, I've known you there.
I've known you for 5 years, yeah. And I feel like I would have heard that story by now.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's too good for you to not tell me
about.
Well,
I was surprised. A couple things came out here that I didn't tell you about, so you never know. But you played the odds, like a true poker master. Okay, so two more here. This one's a short one. After a May 2007 show at the Evening Star in Niagara Falls, I quipped on our website, it was the kind of night when dreams come true, assuming, of course, that your dream is to play for 20 people at a shitty local bar for free and be charged $175 for sound and lights. Real or not real? The Evening Star in Niagara Falls. You know, Greg's there. Is that his name, Greg? And he does a wonderful job there. Craig something?
I literally have no idea who you're talking
about. Yeah, we, like, met him briefly when we played there at the Evening Star. But whatever. Anyways. Is that true or not?
Let's see. A band being charged $175 for lights and not getting paid. I'm going to say not real because I don't even think there was 20 people there.
Actually, you're correct. That is not real. Although it did happen, but I didn't write about it on my website.
Fair enough.
That one I kind of thought, I had a glimmer of reason, and I saw a future where, hey, maybe I shouldn't alienate these folks. Okay, so the last question on the Real or Not Real game show, How to Lose Gigs and Alienate Venues edition. On June 21st, 2008, Middleman played probably our biggest gig, opening up for our heroes, Canadian pop legends Sloan in North Tonawanda. Now, you've heard about the fact open up for Sloan.
That doesn't necessarily discount or aver the rest.
Hero worship soon turned to professional rivalry, however, when the band took so long to do their sound check that they left us with barely time to mic our drums, which were shoved to the front of the stage. Repairing to my internet war room after the show, I questioned the band's nice guy act, writing that Sloan were, quote, the only Canadians nastier than Canada geese. Real or not real?
I really want to imagine that Sloan's a bunch of nice guys, so I'm going to say not real.
They are so nice, and you are so right. That is not real. They were complete gentlemen the entire time. Aww. Smiled at us a little bit as we walked by, and
that makes me happy.
And that was it.
Because sometimes you kind of expect, if you're going to meet someone you're into, to be a dickhead.
Right.
Like the singer from Everclear. If I ever met him, I'm assuming he's a giant asshole.
Yeah.
But Sloan seems so nice.
Yeah.
So friendly.
And they are. Well, that's our game. Thanks for playing.
I definitely won that. I think I only got one wrong.
Yeah, no, that was pretty great.
All right, we're going to work out.
Well, basically, you just bet on me being a horrible human being and just, like, pretty much stayed on that line, and you won big.
Yeah.
It paid off.
Hi, this is Kendall Cage from Optic Oppression, and you're listening to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwnynews.com.
Hey, asswipe. Don't go snitching to Julia about this. I know you got some little crush on her, but you gotta face the facts. She'd rather go to bed with a real man, not some poor singing orphan.
John from the local group Governess.
That's right, man.
Correct? So, you know, I was Facebook trolling you guys a little bit today to learn a little bit about the band. And I noticed that you list your influences as whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
That sounds about right. Were you the author of that? Do you maintain the Facebook? Or is it somebody else in the group?
It's just kind of everybody. Yeah, everybody just kind of just when we feel like something to say, we'll put it out there.
Is there any particular brand of whiskey that really fueled the band?
No, not really. I mean, I know some of the dudes like, it's not just whiskey, some of the dudes like Krupnik.
And what do you play?
I play guitar, yeah.
So, in a punk band, what do you do with three guitars?
We fucking shred.
Just shred?
We put it out there, man.
I heard some great guitar textures today, and I think it was the last song on the new album. I think it's Let Me Be Your Governess?
Let Me Be Your Governess, yeah. That's a fun one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there were some great guitar textures going on there.
Thanks, man.
So if you'd have listened to that one, you would have been able to answer that question. Here's what they do.
Yeah.
Aside from whiskey, what are the other influences of the group, like musical influences?
Well, I mean, Turbo Negro is a big one for all of us. That's a band that we all love. I think the Dead Boys, which is like a kind of like a late 70s punk band, you know, that's a frame of reference. We all love the Stones. And I think, yeah, a couple of the guys really like Guns N' Roses, that kind of thing. So it's just kind of, you know, a mix of like punk, rock and roll and all that good shit. So
are there any other local groups that like, who's some of your favorites on the local scene?
There's a few. There's this band called Rodden, which we're friends with. It's some of the guys, one of the guys is from Buffalo, and the other guys are from Rochester. They're really good. It's kind of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like D-beat, but it's kind of like old, like English punk kind of shit. And they're really good. And then we just played a really good gig at Mohawk Place with Irvin Claus. And they're kind of like a rockabilly, kind of a throwback rock and roll thing. But those are some bands we, you know, we like playing with. Those are the ones that kind of stick out to me as being good. There's also this other band, Bobo, that we played with a while back, who's just kind of just like a really, you know, old school rock and roll band. They're pretty fucking tight, so, yeah.
How long has this group been together for?
We've been together for like probably 3 or 4 years, give or take. And like I said, Teddy just joined the band in the last year, and it took us a while to get like a show together, but once we did, we kind of started getting rolling, and you know, now we're playing a bunch of, you know, kind of out-of-town shows and stuff like that.
Sweet. Yeah, I noticed a lot of the stuff, it seems to be, at least a couple of the shows that I saw were built around, you know, genre. It's sort of like a genre night, like, you know, like punk night. And that's kind of nice to have that, like, clearly defined scene. It seems like you can hop on to, you know, a night with, like, Irvin Claus. We have a lot of that rockabilly. I definitely hear some similar DNA between you guys. Mm-hmm. And like some of these other shows coming up, is it sort of the same thing? Like when you're out in Ohio and Rochester, are those like, is that part of a big bill, or who's on those bills?
Most of the time it's just a lot of our friends. Like we've got a show coming up in Cincinnati and we played there a little while ago, and it's just our friends put us up, and we just got pockets of friends kind of all over the place. We've got a really good group of friends out in Jersey, so we tend to play in Asbury Park a lot. Some really, really good bands out there. Hot Blood, Battery Electric, Dirty. Those are just our friends' bands. We like to, you know, party with those dudes.
Oh, great. So, who are your fans? Do you have, like, personal... I mean,
mostly drug addicts, whores... I don't know. It's just people who just, I guess our fans are just people who like rock and roll, you know, people who like punk rock and roll and just like coming to shows and just fucking hearing, you know, that kind of thing.
I noticed that you had a CD release party for your new album, which is Let Me Be Your Governess. Is that what it is?
Yeah. That album's actually been out for a little while now. It's been out for about a year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we had a CD release party. I think that was about a year ago in Mohawk. It was great.
I think I failed to note the 2016 on the
date. No, no worries.
Yeah.
No worries. We're actually not playing Buffalo until September. We've got a big party that we're throwing. It's like a 2-day bash at Mohawk Place, which is it's our Turbo Jugend anniversary. So what that's all about is, you know, we're part of this thing called the Turbo Jugend, and it's basically just like a giant kind of Turbo Negro fan club, but really it's just like a bunch of dudes that just get together and party and just, you know, drink.
Is this
a
worldwide network, or is this like a nationwide?
The Turbo Jugend's all over the place. So we're representing the Buffalo chapter, and then the Genesee River Killers is the other chapter that we're kind of friends with, and Teddy, or one guitar player, is a member of that. So, yeah. So we're having a big bash in September, and we've got, like, all of our friends' bands coming and stuff. It's going to be cool.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, I think this will get to air before then.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah. God, I hope so.
So you guys did, though, like a year ago, play your CD release party at Record Theater. Is that correct?
Kind of. We did. Really, our record release party was at Mohawk, but we did. We brought CDs, and I think we played the same day. So we just, you know, played in house at Record Theater.
Oh, okay.
That was something we did for a little while. We would try and play a couple shows in a day. Like we played, what the fuck is that place called? Spiral Scratch, and then Record Theater, and we did that for I think like a couple years in a row. So
how do you feel about the closing of Record Theater? Did you hear about?
Yeah, it sucks, man. I grew up going to, I started off when I was like a little kid, my dad took me to there was a Williamsville location Record Theater. Not many people know about it nowadays. And I grew up going there, and then I started going to the University Plaza one, probably in my like teens. And yeah, so it's a bummer. I got a lot of friends that work there, and it's a, you know, it's a great store.
Did you go there to actually discover music, or were you like a lot of people these days who got their music mainly in other ways in the traditional record store?
Yeah, I mean, I went there kind of both. I mean, I went there to pick up stuff that I liked, but I also went there to just to, you know, kind of scour around and just see what was available, and, you know, CDs or vinyl, you know, like I don't really care if it, you know, if it sounds good, I'll check it out. So, so yeah, I mean, I was going there a lot. And yeah, it's a bummer that's closing.
So the people that come out to your shows, I mean, just to get back to that for a second, are there folks that you actually know and that are friends with, like in work or other capacities, or are they just people who show up to the shows? And if they are the former type of the friends type, you know, are they there? It sounds like they're still with it. They're still coming out to shows or not? Because, like, personally, and I'll tell you where this question comes from, you know, I'm older than you. I've been in bands. You know, I'm 43 now. I've been asking my friends to come to shows for 20-something years.
Sure.
And they hung in there for about 10 years, you know, and now it's just down to the diehards.
Yeah.
What, would you have any experience like that?
Well, I mean, I'm in my mid-30s, and the other dudes are in their, like, mid-30s as well. Our singer's, you know, older too, and, you know, we just... I think we're able to get people out, man. I think we, you know, we haven't hit a point where, you know, we're losing, you know.
Your fans aren't dying off yet, like ours.
Yeah, all of our friends just like to party, and they like to drink and fucking, you know, enrage. So, you know, I think you're that kind of person. You're predisposed to it. So we're in for the long haul.
So you recorded the album last year at Sonic Farm Studio?
Yeah, well, we recorded the album in, I think it was September, October of 2015. And then we were just fucking lazy in getting it out. And yeah, then it finally came out. And yeah, Sonic Farm Studio.
How is that place? When they first came out of the scene, I know they had a lot of great social media support behind them. It looked like they were putting out some photos of some wonderful gear, and some people did some testimonials I saw that.
Yeah,
did it live up to the hype?
Yeah, it's dope. It's just, it was basically, you know, our friends Dan and Scott, and basically we just went in there, and, you know, every band nowadays is just like Pro Tool crazy, and we went in there and we did basically the whole thing is pretty much live without the vocals. So then we just kind of just went in and just maybe touched up some, like, a solo here and there, but, like, for the most part, it's pretty much a fucking live record. So that was fun. Because all my other bands, you know, that I've ever done is just Pro Tools, and it winds up sounding like shit. So
yeah, it gets too digitized.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. So I like the way that the record turned out. It sounds pretty, I think it sounds pretty natural. So
yeah, how long did it take to do?
2 days.
Awesome. Really?
I think, well, the 2 days for the recording, and then you know, then they mixed it, you know, that took a little bit, but yeah, I mean, we just laid it down in like 2 days. We just went in there, did it on a weekend. So
I know John had an interesting experience at the Gypsy Parlor. I've been there as well. We went there for trivia night once, and I believe I saw a drug deal in the bathroom. And at one point, I saw two guys come out of the same stall, and one of them said, "Oh, we got to exchange numbers." So
yeah.
The Gypsy Parlor, in and of itself, is just—it's a pretty bizarre place. So what happened to you there?
Well, it kind of involved another band. It was just—it was a whole fucking stupid thing. It was our friend's band, Rodham, was playing, and we had it was a couple things during the show. Our buddy Tony Bastard, who's no longer with us, he was getting crazy and dancing, and I think at one point in time he might have ripped something from the ceiling and tore that down. I think it was a projector or something like that. And and then the singer Rodden just kind of busted his face all up, and he was just bleeding everywhere. So he ran to the bathroom, and his girlfriend went inside to kind of just help him, I guess, bandage himself up or whatever. And the security guards didn't like that, and so they kind of ripped her out of the bathroom, which led to kind of, I don't want to call it like a full-on fight, it wasn't anything like that, but it definitely, like, a lot of pushing and shoving and kind of
a kerfuffle.
Yeah, a little bit of fucking just not being nice to each other. Wow. And yeah, so I don't know if we're welcome back there anymore. It's been a little while, so that was kind of interesting.
Is that a place that you'd played at a lot previous?
No. I think we played there one time before. I mean, I don't know. It was a kind of a weird show. It was a weird venue. It's not the kind of place we normally play, so.
Were there any indications at the beginning of the night that this sort of thing was going to happen? Like, was there some sort of tension, or were there any other little altercations with the staff right
in
the middle?
No,
no, this was just out of the blue.
Not really. We just got wild, and they didn't like that, so it's just what happens.
That's just the way it goes. You play enough places.
Yeah. So how fast is like the build up when someone messes with the singer's girlfriend?
Oh, it was nothing. It was just honestly, there was like a security guard. He ripped Lindsay's arm like out of the bathroom, and then it was like, hey, don't do that. And then it was just kind of just like from there, it was just kind of on, and there was some pushing and some shoving, and then it was just kind of like we just grabbed our gear and got the fuck out, and you know. So, moral of the story, fuck Gypsy Parlor.
did you get to play your set at least?
Yeah. This was, I think, because our set was before Rodden, I think. So, yeah, I think we played and then Rodden. So, yeah. If my memory serves, my memory's all fucked. So, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, part of rocking.
Yeah.
Part of rocking, yeah. Did you get paid?
I don't know about that show. I do have a story about fucking another venue that didn't pay us. So actually, this is more recently. We played Ironworks, which fucking fuck Ironworks, man. That place, it whatever. I go on a tangent, but no. Long story short, at Ironworks, we were supposed to we played the show. At one point in time, there's like a whole bunch of people there. Right before we go on, we're told we're not getting paid, which, like, who cares? Like, we don't give a fuck. But it was just the fact that the place was full, and they made up some bullshit excuse of management about, like, how, like, they've got to pay their staff or a bunch of their staff before anybody gets paid. And we're just thinking there's a bunch of people in here, and, you know, we didn't know what was going on. So, fucking, you know, we kind of did things the governess way and got on stage, and fucking our guitar player, Eric, just... you know, said what needed to be said and kind of, you know, said some words about Ironworks on stage and, you know, set was short and we got our gear and left afterwards. So, yeah.
Was it shortened by anybody pulling a plug out?
No, or? nobody pulled a plug or anything like that. We just, right. You know, we just kind of were like, you know, fuck this place. We're kind of done. So we just got our gear and just, it was like a half a set and then, you know,
did you have any words with anybody on the way out? Did any of the staff have
nobody
any,
said anything,
anything
to me?
Add?
Nobody said anything to me, but you know, I'm sure some words were said, and I think that's another place we're probably not welcome back. So, yeah. So fuck Ironworks.
Yeah.
Was your set extra inspired by whiskey that night? I know that happens a lot when you're kept pissed at the place you're playing at.
There was some alcohol involved. I don't know quite how much, but yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Deep in the African jungle, a safari was camped for the night. In the darkness, distant drums began a relentless throbbing that continued until dawn. The safari members were disturbed, but the guide reassured them.
Drums good. When drums stop, very bad.
Every night, the drumming continued, and every night the guide reiterated.
Drums good. When drums stop, very bad.
This continues for several days until one morning the drumming suddenly stops, and all the natives panic and run screaming. The man asks the guide, "What's the matter?" The guide looked very frightened and says,
"When drums stop, very, very bad,"
he said.
Why is it bad? Asked a member of the safari.
Because when drums stop, bass solo begins.
I went to like six accents, like every different...